Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
How many of you saw the movie about Moses last weekend? Did anyone see it? My grandkids, their comment was, when was that movie made? Boy, the technical side was really backwards. Today, we're looking at Moses. The scene takes place 1,300 years before Jesus. We're way back in the midst of history. And it takes place in Egypt. And if you remember with the story of Joseph, there was a time of famine in Israel, and we had great tribal migrations down into Egypt. That's why the children of Israel are there. And then trouble comes a little bit later. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. A lot of this is choreographed between the sister and the mother. The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to get it, to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then Moses' sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to take care of the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her own son. And she named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. And one day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Moses was one of the towering figures of biblical and world history, really. He brought his people out of slavery to freedom, and he gave them his Ten Commandments. And I think today his story is as fresh and as real as the current headlines. Because if you really want to understand a lot of modern history in many parts of the world, if you want to understand a lot of the freedom movements and their problems, there's no better place to start than the story of Moses in the book of Exodus. It's very up to date in its insights. You know, just this past week when we were remembering Martin Luther King's assassination, there were lots of film clips about that famous speech where he says, I have seen the promised land, straight out of Moses, straight out. This spring, we're going to look at Moses as leader, and we know people like Churchill and many of today's leaders, actually studied Moses for insights into their task and work. And today we're going to start at the very beginning and look at some of the influences that went into the making of this leader. And again, we go back 1,300 years before Jesus. We're going back to the land of Egypt. The people of Israel had settled there because of famine back at home. They'd migrated down. And there are references, just brief references, in ancient documents to a people called the Hapeiru in Egypt at this time. And it's not exactly certain, but some scholars feel this may be a reference to those very ancient Jewish people. Hapeiru, roamer, wanderer, nomad is what the word means. Well, the Jewish people in Egypt settled in the Nile Delta area. They settled in very well. They did very well for themselves and lived in peace. And then a change came when, as the Bible puts it, a new king came to the throne in Egypt. This was Ramesses II. And Ramesses II thought that the Jewish people were doing just a little bit too well and they were a threat. And so he instituted a program of persecution. He issued an edict of ethnic cleansing, like we've seen in Bosnia and most recently in Burma with the Rohingya people. The Jewish people were enslaved. They were forced to make bricks for the building of cities. And again, from that period, we have a wall painting with a slave master standing over slaves making bricks. And the caption reads, "The whip is in my hand. Do not be idle," or you get it. Then the same Ramesses II ordered that all the male Hebrew babies be killed, that they be thrown into the Nile. And Moses' mother, to save her son, makes that little papyrus basket, and she makes it watertight with bitumen and pitch, and she puts it in the water right at the place where Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe. And it's there among the reeds. And of course, the daughter sees it, asks it to be fetched and brought to her, and she's moved by this little crying baby she has. And all of a sudden, again, a lot of this is choreographed between the mother and the daughter. Moses' sister appears and says to her, "Would you like a Hebrew woman to take care of this child for you?" And she says, "Yes." And so Moses' real mother, biological mother, is brought in now as a kind of au pair or nanny to take care of the child. Now, if I remember correctly, Winston Churchill once said that when he became prime minister, it seemed as if all of life had prepared him for this day, that it had given him the skills and the experience needed. And I think as we look at Moses' childhood, we ask, you know, what were the influences that helped make this man the leader he was? And one of them, very definitely, was the royal court in Egypt. This is a young man who's brought up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He has advantages his own people could only dream of in their wildest dreams. Moses in the royal court, as Pharaoh's daughter's adopted son, was part of the elite. He would receive the best education of the day. He would receive military, academic, leadership, training, while his people in bondage, in slavery, would have at most a very primitive form of education. And this is the way you keep people in place. You don't educate them. He was taught in the royal court that the world was his. He could do what he wanted, achieve whatever he put his mind to. While his people were taught they were good for nothing, stupid, second class, unfit to govern themselves. As the adopted son of the Pharaoh's daughter in the royal court, he also knew freedoms that his people could only dream of. He had all the freedoms we have, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. While his people, you know, if you stepped out of line, you got your head chopped off. He had freedom. And I think this is key to understanding the future now. He's going to resist when God calls him to liberate his people. He's going to resist like mad. He's going to fight it. But in fact, he is the only person who can take his people to freedom. He's the only person who has experienced freedom. He's the only person who knows from what freedom is. He's never been a slave. He's never had a slave outlook. And that is absolutely key to his future. A privileged upbringing. And I think it asks us to think a bit about our own lives. Are there things in our own past, experiences, training, skills developed that help us to meet life today? Is there a sense, perhaps not exactly the same way as Moses, is there a sense in which we also have privilege? You know, it's easy to say, hey, I'm struggling to make a living. How can I have privilege? But I'm meaning it in the sense of this, that just by growing up in this country, just by living in America, with its wealth, with its resources, with its opportunities, with its freedoms, is there a sense in which in many ways, we have been blessed because we just as easily could have been born in the Congo. We could just as easily have been born in Syria with all the war-torn damage there. And yet we're here. Is there a sense in which we, perhaps not just in the same way as Moses, but is there a sense in which we are also privileged? And with that, is there a responsibility that comes as well? The royal court is a very important influence on this young man's future development. There's something else that's very important here to the future, and that is his mother. And to some extent, his sister, though we don't hear about her until later. But it's at his mother's knee that he learns about his Jewish heritage. Now, I remember Laura Bush once told this story about how she and George W. went to see the senior Bushes in Maine. And they got up early in the morning, had coffee in the kitchen, and George, young George, went to sit down by a big picture window to look out at the view and have his coffee. And he put his feet up on the coffee table. And Barbara Bush, his mother, said, "Get your feet off the coffee table." And George Bush Sr. said, "Barbara, the man's president of the United States." And she said, "I don't care. I'm his mother. And that's not the way he was brought up." I think if we really look at our own histories, we can see that our parents did a lot to tell us about life's lessons. And I'm willing to bet that you take a look at your values, and I'm willing to bet they're the same as your parents, though maybe expressed in a different way. Can you see that? Is that true? Your parents have passed on those values. And a good question is whether we as parents and grandparents are doing the same today. Moses sat at his mother's knee and learned. Barack Obama said it wasn't his mother, but his grandmother that made all the difference. He said, "She poured out everything she had for me. She taught me the value of hard work. She went without a new dress or a new car so that I might have a better life." It was at his mother's knee that Moses learned about justice and injustice. He learned about what's right and what's wrong. And again, as parents and grandparents, what's our calling today as we look at the new generation coming up? Karl Barth was arguably the top Protestant theologian of the last century. He was very, intelligent academically. Hitler kicked him out. I think he was one of the top three people that Hitler immediately kicked out of Germany, along with Einstein. The communists were very wary of him. And he wrote these huge, complicated academic books on Christian theology. The footnotes in small print went on for pages. And yet, when someone asked this man, "How do you know God is real?" He answered very simply and very profoundly. What do you think he said? "My mother told me." Again, I think we are called to think about the heritage we're passing on as parents and grandparents to our young people. It was at his mother's knee that Moses learned about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was at his mother's knee that he learned his Jewish heritage. The family and the royal court, I think, are key to this man's future leadership. Now, you've heard the saying, what if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck? Not always. If you saw Moses, you would see a man who dressed as an Egyptian. He spoke as an Egyptian, yet he was fully aware that there was Jewish blood flowing in his veins. And we are told that one day when he had grown up, he went out and he saw his people working on an irrigation project, and he saw their burdens. He saw their burdens. When Patty and I were in Africa, we were out in a rural area and came across a site where there were fields of cotton and there were black Africans picking cotton, taking the cotton up to the weighing sheds, a penny a pound, maybe 30 or 40 cents a day. Very, very poor people doing this. And standing over them was a white person, swagger stick under his arm, commanding orders. And I don't know if I can express how that hit me, but it was just a chilling sight of the abuse of power and human degradation. Just chilling. Now, Moses, had something like that happen to him. And this is amazing. He saw their burdens, the Bible says. You know, he had it made. All he had to do was keep his mouth shut and go with the flow. He had it made. But he saw the burdens of his people. He had a conscience. Amazing. Now, this is a man who I think became a great leader, not a perfect one by any means, but a great leader. And two of the influences were this court, the royal court, and his family. And again, the surprising thing is when he could have had it made, in a sense, he gave it all up because he saw the burdens of his people. Now, this story was told many times through Israel's history in very troubled times. And this story of Moses' origin was told to get across to the people, even in the darkest times, when Israel was in slavery and bondage, God was at work, even in the darkness, even among ordinary people, to raise up one who would bring freedom, one who would deliver, to be continued. Next week.